This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 5th, 2014, the second Sunday after Christmas, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Jesus Christ is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We live in a day and time where to speak of truth is not only not fashionable, it can be looked upon as downright rude on occasionally. If you say that you know the truth and someone else does not, that gospel that we hear at the end of every single Mass, except when it's the proper gospel as it was today, emphasizes the fact that there does indeed exist truth. Truth exists. And if something's not true, then it is less than true, which, in a sense, no matter how true it may be, has an element of being false. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the true light, the light of every man that cometh into the world. It is the exclusivity of your faith. Your faith is exclusive. It's the most inclusive, exclusive club that's out there, but it is exclusive nonetheless. There is one Savior. There are not many doors that lead to one place, not many hallways, not many portals, however you want to say it. There is one way, one truth, one life, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that from His incarnation. He said it's not fashionable to speak of truth anymore. I think people are hard-pressed to even define the word anymore. What is truth? It's not a relative term. It doesn't mean, you know, what I think is true for me, but what is true, you know, I harp on relativism all the time. We can't have it. I mean, that's a slippery slope. That's your, as a subtitle of one book on relativism states, it's your feet firmly planted in midair. All right? There's nothing firm about relativism. We do not have a relative faith. We have a true faith. I didn't have to go to a theological dictionary to do some really theological exposition of truth. Webster, this is a definition of what, and it speaks volumes theologically. It's one sentence. Brevity is the soul of wit. Truth is being that which is the case rather than what is manifest or assumed. That speaks volumes about the incarnation, and that's coming from Webster's dictionary, okay? The truth is the case. It is just what it is. And it doesn't matter on what's manifest or on what's assumed. Manifest. If we just left Christmas time, okay? If you look at a manger scene, if you contemplate, which I hope you did over Christmas time, meditate on the creche, meditate upon the infant Jesus, what is manifest there? A little baby laying in a stable with a bunch of animals. Okay? It's an infant. Weak, helpless, manifest. So, what's the big deal? The cross. What is manifest there to the human eye? What's manifest there? A criminal hanging, being executed like thousands of other criminals were executed, like a criminal was being executed on either side of him in the same exact way. What's the big deal? All right? The big deal is that there is something that's the case there that was not the case with the two thieves that were with him or any other person that's ever been crucified. The case of the manger is not what is manifest, just an infant who was born in a stable because there was no room for him. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the second person of the Trinity, because that's the case, not what was manifest. It is not what is assumed. There are a whole lot of people out there who assume a whole lot of different things about Jesus. They assume he was a great teacher. They assume that he was a great prophet, maybe. They assume that he was a wise religious sage. There are tens of millions of people out there who assume that he had ever existed. They can assume that if they want to. It's not the case. It's not the truth. So Webster's dictionary definition of truth speaks volumes about the incarnation. What you see, what is manifest from human sight, and what is assumed by a lot of people is not the truth. We know the truth. He is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Makes that bold statement very objectively. That's just not, isn't in the gospel reading that we had this morning. It's a thread throughout John's gospel. In chapter 6, our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of being the true bread from heaven. Said, so, you know, you guys had manna in the desert, rained down. You guys say, oh man, look, God's feeding us from heaven. Where are all your forefathers who ate that bread? They're dead. They're lying in the desert. I am the true bread which came down from heaven. John 15, I am the true vine. If you are not engrafted into me, it is if you will be pruned away, you will wither, and you will be cast into the fire. It doesn't say that I am the true vine, and if you decide to be engrafted to me, or if this vine appeals to you, or if you assume that this is the right vine, that you will be... No. I am the true vine, you are engrafted into this vine, or you are cast into the fire. His words, not mine. And in his high priestly prayer, in John 17, he says, and I quote, when he is speaking to the Father, this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. It's about truth. We read from Ephesians this morning. Paul goes on in that letter, he makes probably the most pointed statements. I mean, he is up in your face about objectivity when it comes to faith. There is one body. There is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. You know, I'm a simple guy, I really am. But when the Holy Spirit's cramming something like that down your throat, this idea that there is one faith, one baptism, that one, again, that's probably a really simple concept for even me to understand. Okay? This whole idea of exclusivity is replete throughout the Scriptures. And just because it's not fashionable in our day and age, so be it. Right? This truth exists, and this truth subsists, and this rather ruffles some feathers, that truth subsists in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church bears the truth in all its fullness. I use a worldly analogy for that, because are you saying everything else is a lie? It's not the full truth. Okay? That's the bottom line. I was a cop for 28 years. And I went to court a whole lot. Sometimes I go to court a couple times a day, given the particular job that I did. Every time you go into court, some of you have been there on one side or another, no matter what side you're on, you take an oath when you go there, or you affirm. You affirm or swear to tell, everybody sees it on TV, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Why doesn't it suffice to just say, tell the truth? Because you can tell the truth, and it doesn't necessarily encompass everything. You know, you get caught coming in real late, if you're young, or even if you're old. Where were you? Out. That's the truth. Does it encompass everything? No. All right? The truth, the whole truth. And nothing but the truth, because you can even tell the whole truth, but it doesn't necessarily contain, or you might say the whole truth and add some parts that make it sound better for your cause or for your case. That's where that nothing but the truth comes in. Not your perception of why this happened or why that happened, not why you were out. So, you know, not your opinion as to how it happened. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When I say that that truth subsists in the Catholic Church, that's what I'm saying. That the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth subsists in the Catholic Church. There are elements of truth. I will get in everything else. Everything else. I'm not just talking about Christians who are not in the church. I mean, there are some world religions. I wish our people prayed as much as they do. I wish our people gave alms the way they did. So there are elements of truth there. There are elements of truth, but they don't have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what subsists in the Catholic Church. Because it is a matter of being true. There's a matter of truth, a truth in all its fullness. In the same sentence, when we talk about it being the truth, that our Lord Jesus Christ is the true light, it's even emphasized. He is the true light which enlightens every man that comes into the world. That's again that exclusivity thing. He enlightens every man that comes into the world. Every man. Not ones who want to be Catholics, not one who want to be Christian. He is the true light which lightens every man that comes into the world. He is the true light. That light that he gives us is his grace. I talked about that in my Christmas homily. I'm not going to get into it anymore today. The light that he gives us is his grace. But I will use a worldly analogy for it. And this is where for the folks who would say, well, he couldn't be really the true light, because if he was the true light that lightens every man in the world, then every person in the world would believe. And every person in the world doesn't believe, so he must not be the true light. There is no deficiency in the light. It's what you do with it. For instance, if I blackened all these windows, turned off every light in this place, and it's pitch black in here, and said, hurry up, find the door. What are you going to be doing? If you're not familiar with the surroundings, you're going to be falling over pews, you're going to be banging your ankles, you're going to be groping down the walls, trying to find the door. Okay, let me turn on the lights. Okay, I'm turning on the lights. There is no deficiency in the light. It looks like it doesn't hear out. But guess what happens if you don't open your eyes? You're going to continue to fall over pews and grope around on the walls. I could bring more floodlights in here and turn it on and make it look like the surface of the sun in this place. But if you won't open your eyes, what are you going to do? You're going to fall over things and you're going to bash your head. You can't find the door if you don't open your eyes. There is no deficiency in the light. There is a self-conscious effort of not opening your own eyes. That's that grace and faith thing that goes hand in hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the true light, gives you that light which lightens every man in the world. But if you keep your eyes shut, guess what? You're not going to see it. And it's no deficiency in the light. It's your own deliberate sin that's keeping it from happening. So when you do have that light, there's going to be, and hopefully, you know, if you're sitting here today, I'm kind of preaching to the choir, literally and figuratively, you have to understand that it's, again, another, it's like turning on a light switch when we come to faith. Unfortunately, we see the clutter when we turn on the light switch. Kind of nice when it's dark. We don't see how cluttered it is. For those of you who have kids, or for those of you who have been around children, which most people have, you turn on the light, this room looks like a pigsty. What's the opinion of the little one? It doesn't look bad. Well, okay, that's your opinion. Again, that's that whole truth, nothing but the truth thing. Yeah, there's an element of truth there. It doesn't look bad for you, but it looks bad. That's the same thing with our souls. When the light comes on, we might be childish about it. No, it's not that bad in there. Yeah, it is. That's why you should, you know, hopefully as the light gets a little bit brighter, you start getting a little bit obsessive compulsive about picking the things up in there. All right? Because there's a necessary consequence of having the light, and that's the fact that you are a lamp after you receive the light. You reflect the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. You reflect the true light. In a comment on this gospel passage, St. Augustine speaks of John the Baptist, who was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. St. Augustine says about John, he says, John is the lamp, Christ is the light. You can't leave it with St. Augustine and say, okay, that's John's business, that's not mine. Our Lord Jesus Christ says that you are the lights of the world. You are the lamps. And I'll end with this. That's the way we should live our life. We have had our eyes open to this light. There's a necessary consequence, and that is that you reflect it now. Some of us very dimly, but others very brightly. But you nonetheless reflect it. And I get, this is a formula. Walk out of this place today with this. Living a truly practical Catholic life is to embrace our Lord Jesus Christ as the true light, understanding that you are the lamps, and the cross that we preach is the lampstand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.